Psalm chapter 49. The title of the message this morning is Learning to Kneel Before You Die. Learning to Kneel Before You Die. This year in our church, we've been emphasizing a theme of learning how to kneel. And beginning soon, I'm going to begin preaching some messages on learning how to sit. Then later in the year, learning how to stand, learning how to walk, and learning how to run. And since the beginning of the year, almost every week, we've learned something about learning how to kneel. And this week, the title of the message is Learning How to Kneel Before You Die. Learning how to kneel before you die. Here in Psalm chapter 49, let's stand together for the reading of God's word. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Psalm chapter 49 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world. Both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark sayings upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever." Then verse 8 is sort of interjected in there, but verse 9 applies back to verse 7, where it says, "None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him," verse 9, "that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, and likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings, Selah. Like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee. When thou doest well to thyself, he shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I ask you to help us this morning, that your Spirit would speak to our heart, to our spirit. Help us to be open to you, yielded to you. And Father, if there's someone that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray they'd realize their need before it's too late. Father, to those that are already saved, they know for sure that heaven's their home, and they know that they have eternal life. I pray you'd help them as well, that we would all learn to kneel in our lives to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Everybody is going to die. Everybody. Yeah, I don't like that, do we? But that's the reality. There is no escaping death here upon this earth. If the Lord should tarry his coming, every one of us is going to die. The psalmist was saying here in these verses, he was saying, "Hear this, listen to this. All people, all who live in this world, everyone who walks on the face of the earth, if it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, it doesn't matter if you have a high position or a low position, it doesn't matter if you're well known or if you're unknown, it doesn't matter how much wealth you possess, every one of us is going to die. It doesn't matter how smart you are, it doesn't matter what university degrees you hold, you're still going to die." Psalmist said, "Remember this. It doesn't matter how much wealth you accumulate. It doesn't matter how many toys you possess. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank or how many houses you own. When you die, you're not going to carry any of it away with you. When you die, you're taking nothing with you. Nothing goes with you." And the psalmist reminded some of those who would listen, if you're trusting in your wealth and riches to redeem your soul, Psalmist tried to teach him, you're wrong. You're wrong. It's futile. It's hopeless. It's meaningless. Your money cannot purchase your salvation. Money cannot save your soul. Your wealth cannot buy you pardon. It cannot. We don't purchase our redemption ourselves. We cannot buy our forgiveness. The psalmist tells him the redemption of a soul is far more precious and valuable than money can afford to buy. Only God can redeem our soul from the power of the grave. And know what? God's word plainly teaches us that. It's only the precious blood of Jesus Christ that can purchase our redemption. 1 Peter chapter 1 says that we cannot be redeemed by silver and gold. He says there, it's only by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, left heaven and came to earth. He lived a perfect and sinless life as no man was capable of doing. And He went willingly to Calvary, dying on the cross for us. Do you understand that Jesus Christ paid the full price? He paid the penalty for our sins so that we could be forgiven of our sins. So that we could be spared from hell by God's mercy. And that by God's grace, we could receive the free gift of eternal life and a home in heaven. We can be saved only through faith. It's faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else. No one else has the power to forgive our sins. You know what? No religion can save you. No church can save you. This church cannot save anybody. Only Jesus Christ can save a soul. Only God in heaven can forgive us of our sins. Only He can. Listen, no amount of money or wealth or human power can redeem your soul. We will be lost and without hope for all eternity unless we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him as our personal Savior. We need to trust Him. He is the only one that can forgive us of our sins. He is the only one that can save us from death and hell, from the second death, and take us to heaven. Have you ever seen one of those big billboard signs traveling somewhere on a highway, "Are you ready to die?" You don't see many of that sort of thing in Canada, but there are some in the States where you might see a big, large billboard, and "Are you ready to die?" Or "Are you prepared for eternity?" Or "Are you ready to meet God?" Everybody's going to die. But are you ready to die? We're not ready if we've never been born again. We're not ready if we've not trusted Jesus Christ. If you're boasting in your own goodness, if you're proud of your own good works, if you're convinced that God is pleased with you because you're such a good person. I have no doubt that you're a good person. But you know what? At our best, we're still sinners. At our best, we're still sinners. If you're trusting in yourself or anything else to get you to heaven, and you're not trusting in Jesus Christ alone, then you're not ready to die. I want you to get ready. And God wants us to get ready. He wants you to come to Him in simple, childlike faith and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and your only hope for heaven. I said this morning the title of the message is Learning to Kneel Before You Die. And can I remind you this morning that if you don't get saved before you die, it's too late afterwards. If we don't get saved before we die, it's too late afterwards. In Psalm 49 there, verse 7 and 9, God's word said, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him that he should still live forever. Some people think, or they've maybe been taught, that, well, when a person dies, that's okay. They go someplace, and you know what? If you maybe give enough money to us, we can make sure that they escape hell, or they escape purgatory, and they can go to heaven that way. You can buy their ransom. You can pay a certain amount, and we can help to redeem their soul. Listen, that's nowhere in the Word of God. That is nowhere in the Bible. We want every soul. We want every lost person to be saved before they die, before it's eternally too late. That's why we must share the gospel with the lost. That's why there's a great urgency for us to get missionaries all over the world to preach the gospel, because people need to hear about Christ before it's too late. That's why we need a great passion and fervency in our hearts that causes us to speak up and to be bold and to be willing to share the gospel and tell others about our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we need to be witnesses, because we need to share the gospel with people before it's too late. Listen, when your neighbor dies, it's too late. For you to go to the funeral of your neighbor after they die and pray for them, oh God, please take them to heaven. It's too late then. It's too late. If we want them to go to heaven, we need to share the gospel with them. We need to tell them what Jesus Christ did for them so they can make a personal decision to trust Jesus Christ. We must kneel before we die. If you've never humbled yourself before God to acknowledge your sinful, lost condition and to in faith trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, then let me encourage you to do that today. Don't delay. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. We never know when we're going to die, but we know we're all going to die. My brother was 22 years old. Vaughn, how old are you? 23 now. Just about the age of this guy. My brother was 22 years old when he was killed in a car accident. No, we never thought that day that he was going to die. He just got married 7 weeks before that. His new bride didn't think he was going to go to work that day and he was going to die. My dad was 45 years old when he was killed in a farm accident. Oh, he wasn't planning to die that day. He wasn't planning to die that day. Listen, young people and old people are dying every day. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." And James 4:14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." You don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what tomorrow holds. "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." You know what a vapor is? If you have a pot of water that you're boiling on the stove and there begins to be some vapor that comes up from the boiling water, it's there, you see it, and then it's gone. God's Word says your life is but a vapor. It's there today and then it's gone. Life passes us by so quickly. We need to be prepared to die. We never know when we're going to die, but we must be prepared for eternity. Again, the title of the message this morning is Learning to Kneel Before You Die. Do you know the reality is that every person will one day kneel before God, whether they've loved Him or believed in Him or not? If you want to look at a verse with me, Philippians chapter number 2, Philippians chapter number 2 and verse 8 to 11. Read these verses to you, Philippians 2, 8 and 11. One day, everyone will kneel. Philippians 2, 8 says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." In Psalm 22, it says this, "All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul." You know what? All those that are going to go to the dust, all those that are going to go to the grave, everybody who's going to die. Listen, there will be one day when every knee will bow down before God and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day every knee will bow to Him. But every knee is certainly not bowing today. Again, we're reminded in those verses that we read that none of us can prevent the inevitability of death. God's Word tells us that one day all who die will bow before God. Every person in the entire earth, think about it, will bow down to God one day. Even the atheist, even the agnostic, even those who today might hate God or hate the Bible, one day they will bow down and confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. But you know what the truth is? God wants us to learn how to bow down before we die. One day every knee will bow, but God wants us to learn to bow now. He wants us to learn to bow down to Him. He wants us to kneel to Him now before we die. Certainly, God wants us to come to Him, and God wants us to be saved before we die. But let me share with you a few other thoughts very quickly from the Scriptures about learning how to kneel before we die. Learning how to kneel before we die. A few things very quickly this morning. Turn back to the book of Psalms with me in chapter 95. Psalm chapter 95. How can we learn to kneel before we die? What are some things we should do in learning to kneel before we die? Number one this morning, I say this. We should bow to worship our Creator and God. Number one, we should bow to worship our Creator and God. In Psalm chapter 95 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Listen, are you bowing down to God? Are you bowing to your Creator? Are you bowing to worship Him? I understand we've talked about it sometimes in some other messages, but are you taking time to bow in the presence of God each day and to worship Him? Do you know that God created you a unique individual, and God wants your life to glorify Him? God made you as a unique individual where there are ways that you can have a sweet fellowship with God that nobody else in this room can. And the God in heaven, our Creator, our Maker, He invites us to come into His presence. He invites us to kneel in His presence. He wants to hear you praise Him. He wants to hear you adore Him. He wants to hear you give thanks to Him for how wonderful a God He is and the good things that He's done in your life. Are you taking time to bow down to Him? Are you taking time to bow down and to worship your Creator, to worship your God, to worship your Maker? We need to kneel to Him. We need to kneel to worship our Creator, kneel to worship our God, spend time in His presence, spend time fellowshipping with Him, spend time adoring Him and worshiping Him and praising Him. Sometimes people might think, well, worship is something you come to church, you have a worship service, we have some great music, and that's how we worship God. Listen, the best worship you can do will be on your own someplace, all alone in the presence of God, where you're spending time in His presence and you're praising Him and you're adoring Him. Let's learn to kneel before we die. Let's spend time bowing to our Creator. Let's spend time kneeling to our Creator, to our God, to our Maker, and spend some time worshiping Him. Number one this morning, we should bow to worship our Creator and our God. Number two this morning, we should bow to God's wisdom and God's Word. Number two, we should bow to God's wisdom and to God's Word. Look with me at Proverbs chapter number 5. If you're in the book of Psalms, the very next book will be Proverbs chapter number 5. Let's look at a couple of verses there together. Proverbs chapter 5 in verse 1. It says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding." My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 1. Proverbs 2 and verse 1. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." What does Psalm 119 tell us to do? We're to hide God's word in our heart, aren't we? We're to hide God's word in our heart. We're to hide God's commandments in our heart. "Hide my commandments with thee." Proverbs 2:2. "So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom." You're inclining your ear. You're listening. "Incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." Do you know what the greatest source of wisdom is in the whole wide world? It's the Word of God. You know who it is who gives wisdom? The Bible says the Lord giveth wisdom. And we're to bow to God's word. We're to bow to God's wisdom. This is God's wisdom. You want to know the mind of God? Let's get in the Word of God. We understand He doesn't reveal everything to us, but He does reveal much to us. And if we want wisdom for life and understanding for life and direction for life, we need to spend time in the Word of God. Bow down our ear to God's wisdom. Bow down our ear to listen and be attentive and to find out, what does God say to me? What does God's Word speak to me? Bow to God's wisdom. Bow to God's Word in your life. Too often we think, well, I can figure out my way and I know what's best. Well, let's bow down to God's way. Let's bow down to God's Word. Let's seek that. Are you kneeling to God's Word? Are you submitting to God's Word? Are you bowing down to God's wisdom and God's Word? That's what He desires. That's what He desires. We need to learn to kneel before we die. Learn to kneel before we die. In order to do that, let's bow and worship our Creator. Let's bow and worship our God. Number two, let's bow to God's wisdom and God's Word in our life. Number three, we should bow to wise and godly counsel. We should bow to wise and godly counsel. Look with me over at Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 17. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 17. It says there in verse 17, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. Listen to what some wise people have to say. Listen and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Bow down thine ear means you must be willing to listen, submit to godly counsel. We ought to be willing to seek and submit to and follow godly counsel in our lives. Listen, godly counsel doesn't seek you out. You have to seek for it. Godly counsel doesn't seek you out. You have to seek for it. You know what? God may give wisdom to a wise person that they could help you in your life. But what is typical in the book of Proverbs teaches this, the wise person is not always going around sharing their counsel. They're not always going around sharing their advice, sharing their counsel. They're not going around sharing that wisdom and sharing and so on what they could. It's meant to be sought. We have to seek for godly counsel. We have to seek for wisdom. Two keys to good success. You must be willing to seek godly counsel. And you must be willing to follow godly counsel. Be willing to seek it and be willing to follow it. It does no good to seek godly counsel and then not follow it. And I think I'll just do what I want to do anyways. No, we need to seek and follow godly counsel. Let me share with you just quickly a few principles about bowing down to or submitting to godly counsel. We need to recognize the value of good instruction. Letter A, we need to recognize the value of good instruction. Quickly, a few verses in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 5. It says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Listen, it's not talking about a woman or a good girl. It's talking about wisdom. It's talking about godly counsel. And he says to his son specifically there, boy, you need to seek it. You need to be willing to hear the instruction of a wise father. You need to be willing to listen to good and godly and wise counsel in your life. Listen, we need to recognize that there is some value to good instruction in our life. When there's a wise person, when there's people that experience things that we've not experienced, they can help us to go down the right path. They can help us to make right decisions. They've maybe seen some people that have made wrong decisions and how it's affected them. We need to value good instruction. Letter B, we need to be teachable. I have several verses here, and for sake of time, I'm not going to read them all. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 10, 11. Proverbs 10 and verse 17. Proverbs chapter 8. Let's look at a couple of verses here together. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 33. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Some people just want to refuse it. No, I don't want to hear that. I don't like what you have to say. Sometimes when people go to someone for help, they're just going hoping that that person will agree with them. They really don't want to hear what they have to say. They're hoping that that person will agree with them. Teenagers especially could be good at that. They really don't want to hear it unless it agrees with what they want to do. And probably adults are no better. We want somebody to agree with us. We don't want somebody to tell us what they really think we ought to do. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 9 says this: give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 8, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 17, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Erreth. We need to be teachable. We ought to recognize the value of good instruction. We ought to be teachable. Letter C, we ought to receive instruction from godly parents. Receive instruction from godly parents. Proverbs 13:1 says this: a wise son heareth his father's instructions, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Back in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. We need to receive instruction from godly parents. And letter D, do not refuse good instruction. Do not refuse good instruction. In Proverbs 15:31-32, it says, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Listen, we need to bow down to godly counsel. We need to submit to godly counsel. Recognize the value of good instruction. Be teachable. Be teachable. Receive instruction from godly parents. Listen, you've got godly parents. Seek their help. Be willing to listen to their instruction. Be willing to hear what they have to say. Do not refuse good instruction. Listen, we ought to seek a good counsel and godly counsel for important decisions in our life. The decisions we make in life are big time important. Now, sometimes we make decisions in our life, and young people and college age students and young adults, they're making some of the biggest decisions of their life that will affect the rest of their life. And we need help in that. We need guidance in that to make sure we make the right decisions, because it's not just a little thing. It's going to affect the rest of our life. Don't take those decisions lightly. Seek and be willing to listen to godly counsel. I said this morning, we should bow to worship our Creator and our God. We should bow to God's wisdom and God's Word. Boy, you need help. Listen, bow to this right here. Be willing to submit to this. Well, we need direction in our life, and we need understanding, and we need help, and we need to know what to do with our family. We need to know what to do. Be willing to submit to God's ways. Sometimes people think, well, I know what will make me happy in life, and I know what's best for everything. No, listen to what God says is best. He made us. He's the Creator. When you've had a product that has stopped working, you're either Mr. Fix-It-All who does everything you can to try to fix it, or some people, they might send it back to the company, the one who made it, the one who, especially if it's some complex thing, the one who knows everything about that little thing, and let them fix it for you. Why wouldn't we let God, the one who made us, kind of fix things and make everything right in our life? There are some things about our lives that are far too complex, and we're always trying to figure it out. Like, we've got wisdom, we know what to do. No, God knows what to do. God created us. He made us. He knows us best. He's got the blueprint and everything. He knows what can fix us. We ought to submit to Him. Bow to God's wisdom. Bow to God's Word. Bow to wise and godly counsel. And the last thing this morning, number 4, is this: we should bow to the Lord in obedience. Bow to the Lord in obedience. Look at one passage of Scripture with me. The book of Micah, chapter number 6. Towards the end of your Old Testament, you'll find the book there of Micah. The book of Micah. In my Bible, it's page 950, if that helps you. The book of Micah, chapter number 6. Micah, chapter number 6. And let's begin reading there in verse number 1. It says, "Hear ye now what the Lord saith." Isn't how interesting how often in the Bible he's telling us to hear, to hearken, to listen? We try to teach our kids that. You need to hear. You need to listen. You need to hearken. If you're not listening, you can't do what we ask you to do. You got to listen. You got to listen. God wants us to listen. If God so many times tells us, hear this, listen to this, hearken to this, we must need to listen. We must all have the same problem that our kids have when they're little. We have a difficulty listening to God. We maybe too often want to tell God what we think, or we already know what to do, and we're already running off to do what God told us to do, but we missed out on some of the instructions that'll help tell us how to do it well. We need to listen to God. Listen to Him. He says in Micah 6, "Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with His people, and He will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? Wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me." God says, what have I done? I mean, you've not been wanting to follow me. You've not been wanting to listen to my word and obey my commandments. What have I done to hurt you? How have I wearied you? What's wrong? Testify. What have I done? He says, "For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Remember how he brought the nation Israel out of bondage in Egypt? They'd been slaves in Egypt, but he allowed them to escape from that. He says, "And redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses and Aaron and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak king of Moab consulted, and what Balaam the son of Beor answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord." And then notice this, verse 6, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord? How should I come before the Lord? Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." We should bow to the Lord in obedience. God is never pleased with sacrifices if we're not first living in obedience. Sacrifices don't appease God. Obedience is what pleases God. And some people, they're not pleasing God, they're not obeying God, and so they maybe want to offer God sacrifices, well, to try to appease God. I know that God's probably not pleased with some things in my life. So maybe if I give him some sacrifices, that will appease him. That will satisfy him. No, God doesn't want our sacrifices that appease him. He wants your obedience. He wants you to please him. Just like we would with our children. I don't want you to disobey me all day long and do what you want to do. And then at night, write me a nice little card and say, "Oh, how much I love you." And draw nice flowers on it and draw a picture of daddy with, "There's my little girl," and so on. And disobey and act wicked all day long, but make me a nice card. Well, the card is nice. But how about next time make the card and obey me all day long? Right? Listen, God wants us to obey Him. God wants us to please Him with our lives. In 1 Samuel, it says this, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." The Lord does not delight in sacrifices as much as He delights in obedience. As God's people, as God's creation, as God's children, we ought to humble ourselves in obedience to the Lord's will in our lives. We must humble ourselves, repent of our sins, and turn to God and do right and walk with God. That pleases Him. That pleases Him. Do you know that you can know what is good and right to do, but you must be willing to do it? You say, "Oh, I know what's good to do. I know what's right to do." Are you doing it? It's wonderful that you've heard what's good and what's right. But are you doing what's right? That's what will please Him. Will you bow to the Lord in your life? Will you submit yourself to God's wisdom, to God's word, to God's will for your life? Every knee will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ one day. But God wants us to learn how to kneel now before we die. Are you bowing to worship your Creator? Are you bowing to God's Word? Are you living in obedience to the Lord? Be honest between your heart and God. Are you living in obedience to Him? Are you walking in His ways? Are you obeying the Word of God and the commands of God in your life? Are you living your life in submission to the Lord? Or do you often just go your own way? Are you bowing to God's wisdom? Or do you always seem to think that you know what is best for your life? Are you seeking godly counsel for your life? Are you submitting to God-given authorities? Let's make sure we're bowing down to and submitting to the Lord in our life. Make sure we're submitting to the Lord in our life, that we're bowing to Him. Lastly, let me remind you again of something very important. We're all going to die. It's one of the certainties of life. But are you ready to die? Are you ready for eternity? Have you kneeled in your heart to humble yourself before the Almighty God, to admit your sinfulness? Have you come to God in a childlike faith to realize, I need Christ as my Savior? Nothing else can save me. I'm not good enough to get to heaven. I can't do anything to get to heaven. I need Him. You must bow before the Lord before you die. You must kneel before you die in order to be saved. When you stand before God one day at the great white throne judgment, it'll be too late then. You must get saved. Now, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today. Why put it off? Why wait? Why delay? Why? Don't wait. Don't wait. It may be that you need to kneel and get saved before you die. You may already be saved. Can I ask you, are you bowing to worship your Creator? Really, do you spend time with God every day bowing to worship Him? Spending time in His presence, worshiping Him, praising Him. Are you bowing to God's wisdom, to God's Word? Or do you just sort of follow this book when it's convenient to follow this book? He wants you to bow to it. Bow to God's wisdom, bow to God's Word, bow to godly counsel. Seek it and submit to it. And then bow to the Lord in obedience. Nothing else pleases God. Obedience is what pleases God. Bow to Him, submit to Him in your life. Let's pray together.